I'm glad that this show is a two-hour show, so we have a little bit more time
yes.
to chat. And what I really want to tell you is you're so talented, but my biggest concern, you're so cute, you're so wonderful. If I could take you all home, I would.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 62 for the week of March 16th, 2015. I am Lionel Richie's manly jaw, David T. Cole, and I'm here with terrible song choice, Sarah D. Bunting.
Hey-ole, hee-hoo.
Pitchy dog, Tara Ariano.
Flat, what does that mean?
And extra country accent, Stephanie Kangro.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome back.
Hello.
I just want to say I was going to sing that whole intro and I decided not to, to save you, the listener, from myself.
Thereby throwing me
yes.
under the bus.
Oh, under the Swiss bus.
Under the Alpine bus. Yeah. Yes, got it. We are here with Stephanie Kangro. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Stephanie ably covers American Idol and The Voice for us on Previously.tv. But before we get into the 7-hour death march that was this week's songster programming, a little site business. First of all, the phrase that doesn't pay from last week is still in play. Y'all haven't guessed it yet, so keep an ear out. We'll be using it again. And Dick Week is coming up.
Yeah.
No, I forgot. Oh, that was terrible. Say that again, Tom.
I think I will, leaving plenty of time for Dave to find the dick sound drop. Dick Week
dick.
Is coming up on Previously.tv. That includes all kinds of dicks. Dick Wolf, private dicks, spotted dicks, actual dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Covington saying the word dick in a supercut. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Santa. So that's coinciding with my birthday on the site, and with good reason, because I'm a huge dick.
So look out for that next week.
Speaking of dicks, Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Actually, she's gotten a lot better, I think, this season. She was kind of a pill last year, but I think she's improved.
What was her problem before?
Just being Jennifer Lopez and being super dumb and self-serious. Mm-hmm. Kind of a deadly combo, but she's giving better advice this year, I feel.
I think she's looked up some musical terms. She seems to be very into critiquing cover songs that don't follow the melody, which I think helps her. But she's trying to be nice. In fairness, she's trying to be nice. Not super helpful, maybe, but nice time around, I feel.
Is that what we want, though? Do we want her to be nice?
Not at all. What we want is for Harry Connick to just have the whole show.
Yes.
But
yeah. Although, yeah, I don't... Keith Urban's hair is so terrible, but baby, I don't mind him. It's all right.
He didn't register with me at all. Not even his hair.
Yeah, and who is he?
He's a country star.
Okay,
and he's Nicole Kidman's husband.
Oh, that guy. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
And he has a large Nicole arm tattoo that he displays nicely quite often.
Mm-hmm. How often has she come on the show, if ever?
Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, like to sit in the audience.
Never, yeah.
I don't think ever.
Really? That's kind of bitchy. Not even to support her man? What else is she doing?
I wouldn't. Well, seriously.
She's far and away.
I get it. Yeah. But we I don't know if we said this in the pre-roll or if we've said it in this episode. We really did watch. It was 7 hours between these two shows this week.
It was
a lot. Enough that I tweeted out like crowdsourcing suggestions of like, what do I do while I'm watching 7 hours of this show? I mean, Stephanie, you have to take notes and pay attention. We just had to sort of let
She's
it wash
making
over
air
us.
Quote motion right now. She's like, right.
There are notes. They're just not coherent.
Sure. But I will say
they're
this.
All swears.
I don't think I've watched American Idol probably since maybe season one. And this was my first re-immersion in it. And I have to say, it really suffers in comparison to The Voice. To me, The Voice is a much better show. What do you guys think?
I absolutely agree. I had watched maybe 5 minutes of The Voice before, but and I don't know how like the judging differs among the seasons. But first of all, it seems like they're much more like musically like, it's not little sound bites, like they're actually trying to help. It seems more like plugged into what musicians actually have to deal with, is one thing. Another thing is that these are actual musicians. A lot of them are gigging and have had some success. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that, and they also don't, it's not like this huge tragedy when someone gets cut. It's just like, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
And then the steals make it exciting. And I don't know. I just think it's a more like, it's more realistic and less monkeysy than American Idol.
At any point in The Voice, does America vote on anything? Is it all the judges?
Yeah, they vote towards the end once the teams are all sort of narrowed down. Okay. Unlike where with Idol, it's kind of just America votes or America super votes now, because you can vote like 20 times for I think every contestant, which cancels out the point. But American Idol kind of for teams.
You think there's some guy out there who votes every week, but in equal amounts, and spends 50 cents or whatever it is on each one, and, you know, doesn't realize he's just throwing his money
away. Probably, yeah.
I just thought that. I enjoyed The Voice for what it was better because the judges were making the cuts and forming the teams and the public wasn't involved.
But that's still yet to come.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, I know. I'm saying that's too bad that America has to be involved in it because, you know, at a certain point it just becomes, I mean, I realize they're supposed to become pop sensations, so the public opinion will come into it. But I kind of feel like let's get them to the starting line without America and then we'll just let Billboard decide who's the winner.
It also seemed like there was a huge gap in the quality of the performances between The Voice and American Idol. Like, we watched literally 4 hours of The Voice first, and then we switched to American Idol. And from, like, the very first person who performed, I was like, oh, this is a big step down. I think it was the blonde one who's, like, country-ish. I don't know anyone on Idol's
name. Oh, with the red
hair?
Except
Kasim. No, she was blonde.
Ugh, Kasim.
Oh, that's, Megan.
Uh-huh. I was going to say Mindy.
Close. She almost was cut, which is the frustrating part about her. So the Idol judges still get to choose and parse down from like 42 to 24. Mm-hmm. And they almost did not go with Megan. And then all of a sudden they cut her and then were about to give her slot to someone else. And they changed their minds. And it was terribly awful and unfair. And now a lot of people, by which I mean me, kind of have a grudge against her.
Right. I mean, it just seems...
Sorry, her name's Maddie. There we go.
Oh, okay.
I told you I have notes.
Whatever, same difference. It's all the same. It's all the same name. But they definitely look more like they were picked for their looks on Idol than
on
The Voice.
And they're children.
And they're like, so young.
Oh, yeah.
At least, like, I couldn't believe there was somebody whose age started with a 4. And I think there's someone in their 50s. On The Voice, I was like, oh, finally. Like, people who have experience and know how to do a phrasing and aren't... Like, Daniel on Idol makes me super uncomfortable. I don't think I can watch again.
Danny Pintor. Okay.
Sure.
Kid.
I don't, yeah.
Especially since they're obviously setting him up for, you know, like, well, you got another week or two.
No, he could win. Like, that once it's.
No, the way the judges are phrasing everything, though, is that kid at the end of it, they're like, you know, you're really talented, but yeah, I don't know how you're going to fare against all these other people when it comes to the, you know, the pack vote or whatever they're talking about. It's like, okay, you know, like I understand why they have a kid in there because it's novel.
Well, and they did this with Sanjaya too. Cruel. And then he wound up being like herpes and wouldn't like occasionally he would pipe down, but he was always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, he's 15. And I think so. Idol has a cutoff now at 29, I want to say. Huh. So that's why all of the performers look so young, which The Voice doesn't. But Daniel needs to go. He's been given that lifeline, like, I think for the past like 3 weeks, whereas it's kind of the Jennifer Lopez super nice feedback, like, oh, you're so cute. No one can vote against you when no one can't because you don't set it up that way. But
I actually had a note that was like,
can't kill this puppy.
Yeah, well, but they should have a vote against, actually. Maybe they should do it on a percentage basis, because I'm afraid he's going to, like, pee himself. And he is doing that Alex Preston pee-pee dance on while he's singing, too, that I'm like, oh, it's not even original, and I think you actually are about to wet yourself. Like, this is no way to go out during your bar mitzvah, dude.
But the thing is, like, it is still girls who vote for American Idol, so he could win. He conceivably could win. No.
I don't know.
I
doubt it.
I don't think so, but I feel like he should have been like mercy punted before. Like the judges should have just deleted that from consideration. But it is definitely a younger show, I think. Just that's what they're trying to do. And the voice isn't.
You reacted badly when I mentioned Kasim. Explain, because I liked him.
I just...
No.
I don't know. It all feels very calculated to me. And I'm not sure what else he has to offer. And I guess it's like naive of me to be like, well, this is a singing competition because Idol is, but isn't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact is that foolishness wouldn't have gotten him through on The Voice. Nobody would have turned around.
Oh, no, not at him, all.
Because it's all like a visual thing.
That's true.
And I just think it's going to get old. It sort of reminds me of, what was the guy last year with the hair who ended up winning, I think? Like Rock got Meatloaf conditioner model.
Well, there was
guy.
A Meatloaf-ish guy this season, too. He's gone already, though.
Oh, okay. No. Caleb?
Maybe.
Clark? Clyde?
Let's just keep on calling him.
Clark's
Rock
this
guy.
Year.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was totally joking about that. I think it was Caleb. But it's like, you only really do the one thing. And it's kind of this shticky wedding band thing. And I don't know. It's not something I really want to spend time with. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I like admire what he's doing or think it's really annoying. It's possible it's both.
I think he's probably the most interesting one to watch live. But yeah, on the TV, week after week, it gets repetitive. He tried to switch it up with Jet this week, which wasn't good
for
him.
That was a very weird choice.
Weird, very weird choice.
It
was. Like, a song that's older than me? What do you do? Like, why is that even on the list?
I do like it when the judges call them on the meaning
of
the song.
What do you think
that
means?
Versus-
yeah, that was...
their performance of it, and they're like, I don't know, it's like steel beams can't Jeff Fuel can't melt steel beams. I don't know.
I mean, he did know what suffragette meant, but it's true. Like, why is it in that song?
Yeah,
that's more of a knock on the song than on his performance,
yeah,
in my opinion.
But that wasn't the only time that the judges did that, and I felt like that's a valid criticism that you just can't take any song and make it a Mariah Carey warbly epic.
Yeah.
And make it make sense.
They try, though.
I know they try. And that seems to me like to be 90% of these shows is just like car alarm singing.
Right.
And that's why I'm just like, when there is somebody who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, I mean, nothing personal. Well, it is personal. I really want to punch the guy from the punch his face, the guy with the fedora and the glasses who
Paul
sings standards. But he's singing something
yes.
different, right? And
yes.
I respect him for not being the car alarm singer. And I like, for that reason, I would like to see him go a little further, even though
he's kind
he
of
is
a chronic-y
like,
voice. Yeah. No,
but
I,
even
I
though
hear
he's,
you.
Yeah, like I would pass him on the strip in Vegas and I was like, oh my God, you belong here and I don't. This is your town. Bye. And, you know, like he's that kind of guy. But I do enjoy when they're not doing the stuff that everybody seems to be doing on these
yeah,
shows.
I agree. That was a weird, I mean, not weird. That was an unusual choice in just that it's like such a simple song. It's not that hard to sing, but yeah. He sang it clean and like did a nice interpretation. But like people on The Voice, that's the other difference. Like they know how to perform a song.
Yeah.
Like Sarah was saying, they don't have to just like, you know, put all this filigree on it.
Well, American Idol seems like it's like people singing with the radio, sort of. Like, it's not
yes.
a lot of reinterpretation. It's not a lot of originality.
It's karaoke. It's karaoke
exactly.
battle.
Yeah, yeah.
But is. I really like the battle aspect because it forces
yeah.
them to work together. That's a really cool idea. And, like, Knocking on Heaven's Door, I just hate that song for whatever reason. Like, I just don't enjoy it. It's always sung by somebody with a waspy voice. Like, Bob Dylan, and then who redid it? Guns N' Roses?
Yes. Yeah.
But it's like just not a pleasant song to listen to. And then I think the coach started weeping while they were practicing it. And I was
yeah.
like, yeah, I see that. Like, I actually heard the song for the first time and I was like, way to go, The Voice. Like, I thought I hated the song and I actually think it's great.
One of the guys who sang that, it was the guy with the kind of the whiskey kind of voice, right? He kind of had a.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the guy who looked like the guy from Royal Pains a bit. It was that guy, right? Looked like the
yes.
doctor from Royal Pains.
Yes.
I mean,
Travis, yeah.
Yeah. More of that. And when you mix two performers with different styles and you put them in a song, and it could really you know, be more than the sum of his parts, which American Idol is just, you know, one after one. And it's just like, as soon as you start singing and you don't like them, you've got another 10 minutes before you're going to hear something else.
Yeah.
And on The Voice, it is a bit of a slog. It is padded the way all these shows are, but the songs are shorter when they do them. You know, you don't need to hear 3 minutes of a song to understand how they're going to do it and what the quality of their voice is. You know, they seem to be all about 90-second versions of things, and I enjoy that too. And the battle part is great. It really adds an element to it that is fun, and the game show elements of it, you know, with the steel and the team building and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's novel, and it keeps you a little interested. And favorite team guys, I think I like Farrell the best.
Farrell.
I don't know these people. I love his hat.
Uh-huh.
And
no.
Yeah. Well, it looks like a Mountie hat, but gray. That's why I like it. Well, reminds me back home in Canada.
You might have seen the gray one, but I think he has brown and black as well.
He has multiple.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Well, as a man who is barely without a hat, I can appreciate a guy with a big hat. But I think he's my favorite. And although I do have a soft spot for the country guy, Blake,
Felton.
I don't know. I just feel like he gets ganged up on all the time. And he's like, he's sort of, when the participants are choosing their judges, very few of them will go straight to him because
if they're, you know, not, he's country, the country guy. They don't want.
But
yeah.
Like, it's not, he's like the, you can't appreciate and produce music outside of what you put out. I mean, that's silly.
What were you going to say, Stephanie?
Oh, sorry. He is the most winningest coach, though.
So
that's kind of on them to not choose him. Because he won last year with country guy that I'm forgetting the name of right now.
And it was like three Adam people in the final, they said, right?
Yeah, so. Three Adam people versus guy with three names that... Craig Wayne Boyd.
Wow.
There we go. Craig Wayne Boyd. He won over...
One of them is Wayne. Oh, country music. Never
He was the winner, and then there were three Adam runners up, even though Adam kind of stacks his team every year. Blake, I think, kind of stacks it with country people and then just chooses one that he really thinks is going to go far and pushes that person out front. So could be a gamble on choosing him, but his people seem to go the furthest.
I have a question for Tara.
Yeah.
Were you finding Adam's resemblance to Neve Shulman problematic?
To be 100% honest, I wasn't looking up a lot. I was doing other things while I was watching. I mean, I was, you know, editing posts. I was like doing Sudoku. It's a show that doesn't require 100% of your focus. But yeah, his voice is more so than his face. His voice is very Neve-ish.
And I would look up and be like, where'd all those tattoos come from? Neve's a vegan? I don't even, what?
Yeah.
I kind of love him, even though he's, I don't know, cheesy and also always like picking fights with the other judges.
Yeah, his banter could use some work. Sometimes when he gets into arguments with Blake, he's sort of trails off and doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You can tell they don't have writers behind them coming up with their zingers.
Mm-hmm. But any of them is better than Christina, who's very boring to me. No agreement?
No, she's boring, but I do like that. I mean, she can actually, this is such a contrast with J-Lo because she's not as produced. Like, she's actually much more talented, like natively, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's not like J-Lo doesn't have anything to offer about, like, performance. She just doesn't. Like, she's also super boring and canned. But when Christina Aguilera is in, like, the coaching space or whatever, she does have good things to say.
Yeah.
I just wish she'd do it more because I think she gets really excited about talking about, like, technique and stuff like that.
Yeah. Her main way to, like, win over and convince people to join her team seems to be, like, hey, you hit a high note. Watch me hit the same note. And then they all decide to join her team.
That is annoying. She's like, you just sang my song. Let's sing it together. And the girl's like, that's okay. And then she's like, no, we're doing it. Like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Uncomf.
Yeah, I have to say, even though I like The Voice better overall, and I tweeted it this weekend, Harry Connick Jr. is better than all of the other judges combined.
How old is that guy?
Of anything. love.
He's got to be almost 50.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah,
I mean, he was like in his early 20s when his first album came out, but that has to be like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe like 49. Maybe around there. Yeah. I want to think that.
Sure.
Sunscreen. Good job, Harry Connick Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I especially like as the season wears on, he starts getting very punch drunk and possibly just drunk. And he and Keith will be like, I don't know, fondling each other. And J-Lo has no sense of humor about it at all, but it's the best, like top five. He's just like, so listen. And I'm like, oh, Uncle Harry.
Yeah.
I think he gets muzzled a lot and he wants to give a lot of good criticism, but ends up being cut off for time, whereas they stop the outro music because they have outro music on Idol. Mm-hmm. They stop it for J-Lo when she has, you know, a positive comment. But if Harry wants to give some constructive criticism, he's always cut off. And I think it bums him out a little bit.
Does seem like people boo less than when I have watched the show in the past. There was a lot of like anytime a judge said anything that was slightly negative, the audience would like turn on them immediately.
Yeah, but
I think
the show
it's less like Simon Cowell's negative comments at the end were just like fortune cookies.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just like this Pavlovian thing and he didn't care and neither did the audience. Harry Connick is usually trying to say something of substance at least, but I feel like the audience understands that, so they boo less. I don't know. Maybe there's just not as many people.
Yeah. Before we move on, Stephanie, do you also watch the X-Files excerpt or did you when it was on?
I did not, okay. But I do want to know what you guys kind of think before moving on. Just overall, what do you think of Scott Borchetta? Because you guys got to watch him.
Oh, yeah.
Be
there. If I were any of those people, I would be writing down everything he says because he's obviously knows what he's talking about.
And sugar-free, which
I
enjoyed. That may change once they realize how actually direct he's being with the real talk. They might pull him back, but I thought it was really a smart idea to get someone who was industry.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And Joey Cook, Die in a Fire. Worst.
No.
Worst. I'm sorry. I hated her.
Oh,
my
God. I
hated her version of Fancy. I hated her stupid hair.
She was so affected.
I hated everything about her.
I think my notes said Hannah Horvath goes to Boardwalk Empire or something like that. So just the worst.
But Stephanie, you like her?
She's gotten better, progressively better each episode, where I feel like a lot of the other ones don't. So at least there's something, and she's actually following someone's advice and growing a little bit.
All right,
fair enough. I can testify also that when you cover one of these shows every week, you develop a certain amount of like sympathy
for
your captors.
Stingholm syndrome?
Yeah,
basically.
Stephanie, do you have, it's still early in both seasons, but do you have picks on who you think is going to win?
I don't know about gonna win, but Joey is kind of my underdog favorite.
Okay.
So is Quentin Alexander. He just seems so nice. He's always cheering for all the other performers and he's kind of happy. And then I think Sarah Potenza on The Voice.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Gimme Shelter with Hannah Kirby was like the highlight of all 4 hours of that show for me, I think.
Yeah, I think she could take it. I think she's really, really talented.
Yeah, she's great. All right.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Livvy. Today we watched Season 8, Episode 9 of Face Off. As soon as I saw the opener, I thought, oh, goodness, Liv's going to love this one.
Me too.
And I did.
Can you describe the foundation challenge for us?
The foundation challenge was when they took holy stuff and, like, the holy powder. Mm-hmm. Is it holy or holly?
Holy.
Holy powder, and they put it on their models. And what they did is they didn't use any brushes. They used their hands. But it wasn't so easy because the wind was blowing around. And then it's, like, going everywhere. I liked it in the holy challenge when Stephanie and Emily were throwing the holy powder at each other.
Yeah, and who ended up winning the foundation challenge?
Stephanie.
And what did she get?
Immunity.
That's right. And then they went back to the studio, and they brought in Miss Universe.
Yeah, Miss Universe.
Do you know what Miss Universe is?
No.
Do you know what beauty pageants are?
Uh-oh.
Sort of.
It's when some people like to compete, and they come from all different countries all over the world, and they come together and they compete and see who wins.
Incomplete explanation.
And so they were doing a Miss Intergalactic Universe. No, what did they call it?
Miss Intergalactic Challenge.
Way to go, Leah.
Perfect. That works for me. And what were they doing?
They made characters, but they were queens, miss, and then the planet they're from.
Was it a planet?
No, galaxy.
Right.
Galaxy, galaxy, galaxy.
Do you remember what a galaxy was that we were talking about?
A galaxy is...
It's full
something
of...
Something with lots of stars and sky dust.
And stardust and planets and solar systems. Mm-hmm.
There's more than one solar system?
I know, it's crazy. I'm going to show you a picture in a moment and it's going to blow your mind.
What's that mean exactly?
You will be very surprised at what you see.
Okay.
And so they had to make an alien, right? An alien who was from a galaxy. And they had
super pretty.
Right, they had to make her beautiful. And who was your very favorite alien?
Of course, Emily.
I liked the legs that she did. She painted the legs really well.
Like some pretty, super pretty purple. And then the finishing touch. Glitter. Always fancy.
And with Emily, what else does she always do?
Fancy hair.
Did she do it this time?
Yep.
And did she win?
No.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Who did win?
Darla. Same team as Emily, but not specifically Emily.
And what did Darla do?
Sculptor.
Yep.
Miss
Sculptor. And so...
Galaxy?
And the Sculptor Galaxy, they described it as kind of a spiral, and she did spirals on her head.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that one?
Yep. And her prize was a page of a magazine with her model on it.
Which magazine? Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Weekly!
We accept sponsorships.
Kelly.
And Kelly did. Look at the notes. Do you see? Sombrero. Yes, hers was a little strange because she said that it was kind of an aquatic, a water alien who liked to live in the water, but all the colors she used were warm colors, like from the sun. So that was a little off.
And also, she said the creature lives in the sun, but she can only survive in a dark place.
I missed that, but that would be strange. That doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Wouldn't you go to a dark place to live if you're allergic to sun?
Mm-hmm. And the judges said that she was having trouble with her concept.
Too busy.
Yes, she couldn't figure it out.
Too busy, busy, busy around it.
Yeah.
There's like pink and purple and warm, but also most of blue. There was too busy, busy, busy.
Yep, she was all over the place.
Yep.
So I'm going to show you a picture of the galaxy that we live in. So this is a picture of the Milky Way. See that arrow?
Yeah.
It's pointing at Earth. So we...
That's amazing.
So we live in that on the planet right there in that little dot. And if you were given... She's checking it out very close. She can't believe it.
Oh. There we are. I can't really see the planet.
No, that's because space is very exciting.
Yeah, space is big.
Very big.
Now, Leah doesn't care about space.
You could see up close how huge it is.
Some of it, yep. It would take a very long time to get all the way out there. And you had something exciting happen this week. You painted with Krylon paint.
Same thing they use on Face-Off.
It's the same brand. Did you use face makeup?
No.
What were you using?
Spray paint.
And the first thing you said when you got your spray paint can was, oh my goodness,
this is Krylon paint. The same paint they use on Face-Off. Mummy, mummy, mummy.
She was very excited.
And the project is almost finished.
Yep, and it has some Krylon paint on it, just like all the awesome artists on Face Off.
And that was super cool.
Yes, it was. Thanks for speaking with me this week, Liv.
You're welcome. And see you next time.
See you next time.
Aw, it's so huge. It is time to go around the dial, and Sarah has our first stop.
The jinx, life and farts,
and the burping
of Robert Durst. I think the most important issue for us to address is that was obviously a fart he ripped when he was in the bathroom and not another belch. I can't believe this is even a question.
Yeah.
Okay, actually that's not the big issue we have to address.
I mean, it's a big issue we have to address.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, did they leave any matches in there? I didn't hear one being lit. Could have put that in post. Would have been very satisfying for me. Yeah, I think it was really a successful series. It's interesting that the filmmakers, Jarecki and Smerling,
yes,
their role in the series to date felt sort of intrusive and kind of like self-regarding and look at me a lot of the time. By the time you got to the end of it and the last episode really focused on that issue and on their role in now the case as a whole against Durst in this, particularly the murder of Susan Berman in Los Angeles, I thought that was a really interesting meta commentary or question about documentaries, nonfiction movies, what we expect from them, what role the truth is playing or the seeking of the truth is playing. I wrote about all of this on previously, so you should all check it out. But I think it was like a really sort of bumpy project that wound up being a classic. So
yeah,
if you haven't been watching it and you liked Serial and you're waiting for that to come back, I would definitely recommend this and The Staircase and all of HBO's documentary programming, which is on HBO Go. No, they are not a sponsor.
Yeah, it was amazing to see. I mean, partly it was the people that I follow on Twitter like are more inclined to be into that probably because I follow a lot of like pop culture people and stuff. But like the explosion between episode 5 and episode 6, just because right before it aired, like hours before it aired, there was the breaking news that he got arrested in the Susan Berman case. So that was already like HBO had to rush something out. Then we got a press release.
Yeah, that's late
yesterday afternoon. That was like, so this thing happened. We obviously can't address it, but I feel like there definitely has to be a follow up now. Like, I feel like there's no way there isn't at least another hour, you know, of an update.
Right.
I'll also say there was a shot in the episode last night as we record this, where Andrew Jarecki is sitting in front of his All Good Things poster. And I said to Dave, well, even if all of this was just viral marketing for this movie, it kind of worked because I kind of want to see it now. Like, I'm interested to see how the fictionalized version played, having heard, you know, the in-depth version in the 6 episodes.
That definitely went on my Netflix list. But yeah, I really hope there is a follow-up because the timelines are really, like, the New York Times dug up some interesting facts about the timelines, like that they started turning stuff over to LA authorities in early 2013.
Yeah, but also they didn't find that the recording of him on the live mic in the bathroom, the thing that closes out the series, until like
that is
2 years after it was recorded. Like, how does that not happen?
Which is a tragedy because I really wanted to see the scene where he's in the bathroom and they're all just whatever out in the hall. And the sound guy's like,
wait,
shut up, guys. Shut the fuck up.
Seriously.
And then I would have loved
Jarecki
to see
is
that.
Writing. I retire on his whiteboard right
he's,
under.
He's
get
doing,
evidence
he's doing the
1930s
jig.
Totally.
But yeah, it's incredible. And I've loved all of your writing on it this season. If you haven't been reading Sarah on the site, it's, you know, it's the perfect marriage of writer and subject matter. So it's definitely worth checking out as well as the show.
One last thing I just wanted to mention I thought was great. I'm sure it wasn't really planned as such, but I really like that one of the last things anyone says to Bob is, do you want a sandwich?
Yeah.
Which kind of started the whole show. It was a nice little loop. All right, now we're on to Stephanie. Stephanie, what do you got?
I have The Royals, which finally premiered feels like I've been waiting for this show ever since Gossip Girl ended. My enthusiasm should not confuse you. It is not a good show by any means.
True. I watched it last night as well.
It might be good. I mean, they already renewed it for a second season, so it could get there. It's by Mark Schwann, I believe it's pronounced, who created One Tree Hill. So mm-hmm. obviously there's, you know, a great messed up family dynamic there. And the twist this time is that they're all the royal family of England. And I guess Great Britain, too. They don't address that situation. But, you know, early on, pretty much within the first, like, 2 minutes of the episode, maybe. Spoiler alert, the heir to the throne kind of kicks it off screen. It's a big mystery. You don't know how, which I guess will maybe be touched upon. They all seem to kind of just accept the fact that this 23-year-old passed away. And then his younger siblings, who are twins, Princess Eleanor, who's awesome, and just a cokehead who spends her days in Paris, like I would if I was the Princess of England. She cares, but not really. Her brother
she also
now
really, really looks like Elizabeth Hurley, who plays her mother. The Queen.
She does. She does. And Elizabeth Hurley is so good.
Elizabeth
in this.
Hurley plays a Queen. That's awesome.
Yeah. Guess who plays her mom, Dave? Joan Collins.
No way.
Or mother-in-law. I forget which. Wow. But yes, she hasn't been on yet, but obviously we're all very eagerly
that's kind
eagerly
of amazing.
Anticipating that.
Wow. Yeah. This is like the show that seems genetically engineered for the Fug girls.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it gets better because then there's the kind of spin-off Princess Eugenie and Beatrice, I think, other mm-hmm. one. They're like walking caricatures with red hair, and it looks like Betsy Johnson's closet threw up on them, except that's too awesome for these girls. They're there. There is another prince, brother to the king, trying to, you know, maybe kill his brother and then kill the rest of the line of succession. Wow. It's unclear if he was shooting at the king or some birds.
It seemed pretty clear to me.
And then there's obviously, you know, the American girl who's just hanging around the palace because her dad's the head of security. And she
yeah,
somehow
she's
gets
the most boring one.
She is very boring, but she gets a prominent spot on the steps as they are all gathering for the funeral of this would have been king, and doesn't make sense. Royal protocol is not followed, and I love it so much already that I kind of hate myself for it, but I will not apologize.
Yeah, Lauren
what network
Shotwell,
is this on?
It's on E. It's their first scripted show.
Oh, I would have totally guessed this was CW from
nope.
that description.
Mm-hmm. No, it's on E. Lauren Shotwell did the new show fact sheet on it for us on Friday, so that's up. And she also pointed out one of the extremely unrealistic things is that a lot of high level, like dicey conversations happen out on the balcony, which in the show is like miles away from everything, as if like as she says, Buckingham Palace isn't like one of the most observed buildings in the world. There's like a lot of really absurd shit happens, obviously, but it's not as good as Empire. I won't say that, but like with Empire ending this week, the Royals is probably decent methadone, like to help yep. come down.
Exactly.
The Last Man on Earth, episode 4, aired last night. What a weird show.
Yeah.
But I really like it.
Yeah, I'm super surprised this is actually on Fox and not mm-hmm. FX or FXX.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a major network show.
No, it's super duper weird. It's from Chris Miller and Phil Lord, who did our beloved Clone High and also...
The Lego movie
and 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street movies and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and stuff. So it definitely has a lot of that DNA, not just because Will Forte, who's been in all of those, I believe, maybe not the Jump Street movies, is their lead. He is the titular last man on Earth. And then as episodes have gone through, the end of the first episode, you find out there's a woman on Earth. She's super weird. She's really, really irritating. She's played by Kristen Schaal, and like he hates her guts, but it's clearly a situation where it's like, well, we're the only two people on Earth, so we kind of have to make the best of it. And then at the end of episode 3, along comes January Jones, who is also still alive, and he's just married Carol, the Kristen Schaal character, and so now he has to figure out if he's going to try and get out of it and get a leg over January Jones, as anyone would. Jennifer
Jones looks 10 years younger in this.
She looks amazing. Right? I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that some of it was the period styling of Mad Men that made her look older, and she's supposed to be older than this character, but she looks fucking unbelievable, you guys. Anyone would want to have sex with January Jones in any state, but especially in how she looks in this. But anyway, I love how much they let Phil hate Carol, because she seems very sweet and he's basically a good person, but like, they're very, very different oil and water characters, and they don't really water that down at all, which I like. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. It's not laugh out loud funny, but it's sort of alt comedy goodness, you know, and which is why I'm saying some surprises on a main network. Will Forte, always been one of my favorite guys on Saturday Night Live. This is one of my favorite things ever on Saturday Night Live, as is The Falconer, which was just like weird. And so it really captures his sensibility better this than another MacGruber movie, because that was disappointing.
Although apparently that is happening too.
I know, but I'm just like, that didn't pan out.
I'm not
out.
Mad at the MacGruber movie. Anyway,
I don't think I knew the first one had happened, so.
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe is in it. FYI, so if you want to
check that
out.
So it didn't exactly happen.
Just anyway.
Fell to earth.
it's the kind of premise where it's like, where can they possibly go with this? Yet they really could literally go anywhere. Like, it's a post-apocalyptic
setting. It's going to get a second season, but it's worth
watching. I think it's doing okay.
Yeah.
The premiere did well, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if they moved it, actually.
I don't know. I feel like this is a good spot for, I mean, maybe not after
the Cancel
Guy,
Bear
like,
doesn't seem to think it's in trouble.
No, okay. I think it's doing okay. And like, and no, I feel like the Miller Lord imprimatur is enough for them to like give them some leeway with it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, well,
like,
I
no one
I would
wants
welcome.
To be the network that cancels the Lego Movie Guys show.
Well, yeah. Money talks.
Indeed. Speaking of money talks, not a segue at all.
I have a Will Dave Hate This update. I think maybe a month ago we did Olympus, right?
Mm-hmm. Longer than that, I think. Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I watched the pilot yesterday.
It airs early in April on Sci-Fi.
It's so bad.
Uh-huh.
It's worse than Dominion.
Is it worse than Dig?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
The whole thing. I swear to God, the whole thing with maybe like one set is filmed on a green screen. And you know, when they film on a green screen, and not only is it not the best green screen, you know, processing, but also like all the scenes are super flat. Like, they didn't do any hills or anything on the green screen. You could tell they're just walking around on a sound stage.
Right.
It's that. Like, the whole thing is that. It is so bad. The acting is terrible. The writing is terrible.
Is anyone There's in all it these that you recognize? That,
no, nobody. Zero.
Literally not one person?
Zero.
Okay.
I am not lying when I say the best thing about this show is the 6 seconds title sequence. Like, it is just...
Which may not even be what ends up airing. You know, often those are temporary.
No, it was produced. It looked good. It had dripping blood. Had a appropriate font. But it was just terrible. And the Cyclops, its eye was in his mouth.
You should probably describe what the show is for people who may have forgotten.
It's about Greek gods and all that jazz. It's basically Clash of the Titans TV version, I think.
Clash of the Shitans, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's sort of like Once Upon a Time in Olympus, sort of. Like, I think part of it's in the present day. Is that true?
No.
Or did you fall asleep before?
Not in the pilot. If that happens, then yeah.
Maybe they changed it from the original brief.
it's all
brief.
Yeah, no, it was very cheaply made.
Stinkeroo.
And a lot of the writing was just like these useless scenes to pad it out, you know, like the literally one character had four introductions. Like you know what I mean? He would come out of a scene, escape, come back, do something, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. A person escapes three times only to no effect. Like, it just was like so much just, you know, running and standing still. It was disappointing, but you know, such is life on Sci-Fi. Sorry. All right, everybody. Wow, it's going to be a long show. It is time for the canon. And Stephanie, you have brought us something. Take it away, Stephanie.
I have. Thank you. I have bought Hush, which is season 4, episode 10 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's the episode best known for two reasons. The first is that it's the silent episode. There's only 17 minutes of dialogue in the whole hour. And the second reason, it's that it's the episode with the gentlemen, or as my friends still call them, the really fucking scary guys. They're the monsters that linger. They kind of appear, you know, in the window when I hear things go bump in the night still. Yeah. They are the creepiest of all demons that Buffy faces throughout the series, in my opinion. They're always dressed in nice suits, which is odd, but their faces...
And they float walk, which is it's never a good thing when you float walk.
No, it's no not. And their teeth are metal, which makes it extra gross.
Plus, they float up to people's doors in pairs, so they're like creepy Mormon ghosts.
They got a buddy system.
And they have their little, the dog, right?
They have henchmen that do kind of crawl like dogs on all fours, yeah. This episode's also the first time we meet Willow's future girlfriend, Tara, who becomes a pretty significant character later on. It's the first time that Buffy and Riley kiss. So a lot goes on, even though it's, you know, for the most part, pretty much done in silence with some didactic noise and background music. It's the only episode of Buffy to be nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Writing, which is surprising. But Joss Whedon did a really great job with the script, and everything kind of always relates back to the central theme of communication when you do hear people voices. A lot happens also because people aren't able to talk. There are great visual gags in the episode. My favorite
Perfect
one.
Perfect for a podcast.
Yeah, I know. I chose it.
And we're done. All right, let's vote.
Time to vote, guys.
Well, my favorite one.
We all remember it.
I'll try to describe it. Anya is sleeping on a couch. Spike bends down in front of her as his head pops up. Xander walks in the room. He thinks Spike has fed off of his beloved non-demon Anya. Xander gets to beat up Spike for the first time probably ever and only in the series. Because Spike at this point is... he has a microchip in his head by the Initiative, which will come up later. That super secret anti-demon military. So Spike's kind of rendered... not able to feed on humans, so Xander is able to get a couple punches in, and I thought it was hilarious. Still do, actually, because I just watched it again. But yeah, so the episode opens at the start of Buffy and Willow's psychology lecture, and we hear Professor Walsh say this clip.
So this is what it is, talking about communication, talking about language, not the same thing. It's about inspiration. Not the idea, but the moment before the idea when it's total. When it blossoms in your mind and connects to everything. It's about the thoughts and experiences that we don't have a word for.
Which is all a very nice kind of theoretical thing to say about how people interact with each other. But Buffy doesn't hear any of this because she's asleep in class. She has a dreamlike premonition, as the Slayer often does. Class ends. Buffy and Willow split up. Buffy goes to flirt with Riley, and she goes to call Giles about her dream. Willow heads to her Wiccan group meeting, but it's not going well. The group only wants to talk about big sales. They sort of make fun of Willow when she suggests they practice actual spells. And we see Tara for the very first time. She tries to support Willow's idea, but she's too shy to speak up. Couple hours, I think, maybe goodbye. And then Buffy and Willow meet back up and fill each other in on the rest of their days, as well we will hear here.
So not stellar, huh?
Talk. All talk. Blah, blah, Gaia, blah, blah, moon, menstrual life force power thingy. You know, after a couple sessions, I was hoping we would get into something real, but...
No actual witches in your witch group?
No, bunch of wanna-blessed bees. You know, nowadays every girl with a henna tattoo and a space rock thinks she's a sister to the Dark Ones.
Sorry, it was a bust. I know you were looking to go further in that department.
I'd just like to float something bigger than a pencil someday. Hey, how's with you and Riley? You two seem pretty snuggly after class.
See above, re-talk. All talk.
Do I have to tie you two together?
We almost, but...
Well, get with it. I need my vicarious smoochies.
So, that's kind of it for their day. They both go to bed. Night falls. Gentlemen float into town. Along their way, they happen to use their powers to collect the voices of all the people in Sunnydale into a neat little box. They set up camp in a house that looks like the house from Hocus Pocus, which is a little extra campy and extra creepy. Next morning, everybody wakes up. Their voices are gone. They all freak out. They tried to communicate with hand gestures and lip reading. It doesn't go very well. Riley heads to the headquarters of the Initiative, which is in a basement somewhere. Buffy and the Scooby gang all head to Giles' house. Panic's kind of setting in on the streets as they go by. They see people kind of looting. They see people taking advantage and selling white erase boards for $10. They buy them anyway.
America.
yep. They get to Giles's. Xander has the news on. They hear a news report, which is the first time we actually hear a voice since the gentlemen walk in. The entire town has come down with laryngitis, is the report.
Due to a flu vaccine, which way to spark an anti-vaccine spirit early on, Buffy.
Yeah, this is all pre-internet, so they do a decent job, I guess, of kind of covering it up. Mm-hmm. So no one knows what's going on. Buffy and Riley separately decide to patrol the neighborhood that night. They meet, they kiss for the first time because they're not worried about talking to each other and having to keep their terrible secrets from each other. Same time, gentlemen are also out being busy and stealing people's hearts, literally. They cut out people's hearts and people can't scream, which is the whole point. Giles' girlfriend sees one through the window. She makes a sketch of his face. Yep. Giles looks at the sketch, looks at the notes he took on Buffy's earlier dream, puts two and two together, figures out what's going on. Next morning, he gives everyone a nice silent lecture in a college hall, because Giles can just get those, apparently.
Best.
He has some handwritten notes. Buffy looks extra hippie in the drawing he does of her. She's very upset. But they figure out what they need to do to kill him. Separately, that night, Tara thinks, hey, let me find that cute redhead from Wiccan Group. We can do a spell. She does not find Willow at first, but she finds some gentlemen. They chase her into Willow's dorm building. They are cornered. They kind of erotically hold hands. And they manage to telepathically move a vending machine in front of a door to protect themselves, which is kind of a major milestone for Willow, both romantically, because she's kind of heartbroken at this stage in the show, and for her witchcraft, because she had only been floating pencils before. While that's all going on, Buffy is also attacked by the gentleman, but kind of turns the tables, manages to chase them back to their, you know, Hocus Pocus house. Riley is also there because he just figured that out on his own. They're shocked to see each other, but together they worked to distract the gentleman. Buffy recognizes the voice box from her dream. She kind of pantomimes Riley to smash it. He smashes the object next to the box. Doesn't go well. After a couple more tries, he gets to smash the box. Voices kind of, you know, escape, and we hear this.
Gushy exploding heads.
Yep. So Buffy's scream kills the gentleman. Their heads explode, as we just heard. Things sort of go back to normal for Sunnydale, because, you know, every day is another demon attack. Except now Buffy and Riley, the next day, each admit their secrets. That Buffy's the Slayer, that Riley is part of this initiative. And things will never be the same for those two. Better or for worse, Riley was never my favorite, but he was important. So that's everything that happens in the silence. When I was trying to choose an episode to submit, I picked this one first because I thought of the gentleman. But in rewatching it, what I realized is that it holds up, because of the things that happens in the silence, and that they're just as important as the things that happen, you know, when the talking is happening. The gentleman and again, it's hard to talk about on a podcast, but the gentlemen are so elegant in their communication and their hand gestures and their floating, that the Scooby Gang is all kind of, you know, just a bunch of fumbling idiots when they try to communicate without words. They struggle vocally to communicate with people not in the group, like Riley and Tara, and then they struggle to communicate with each other when their voices are gone. Buffy and Riley obviously are so caught up in hiding their secrets from each other that they are only able to let their guards down once they lose their voices. It's the opposite that kind of encourages Tara to seek out Willow. And it's also really surprised in rewatching it how little of the episode would need to be changed to kind of even air today. You know, you just kind of take out the smartphone equation by adding that to the gentleman's powers, and it would sort of be the same situation, which I was a little bit impressed about. So I love it. I'm still creeped out by it. And that is my submission.
Excellent submission. Thank you so much for bringing this to us. I rewatched this recently as part of my larger Buffy Sober Second Thought series. But I still watch it again for the podcast because it really does hold up. A lot of stuff doesn't from that show, but this absolutely does. The funny parts hold up. The creepy parts hold up. Giles's drawings are amazing, and I want all of them on
seriously,
yeah. Or a series of T-shirts. Someone should get on that. Mm. Someone named Dave. Cool. It's an amazing episode, and the theme of communication seems a little heavy-handed in the beginning, but they do it really elegantly, I think. And I mean, now that I'm in season six, like latter season six of the rewatch, and Giles is gone, like, any episode that we have to watch for the canon that has Giles in it, I'm like, you're already halfway there. So, yeah, excellent episode. I always love rewatching this one. Dave.
All right. I have a working theory I want to propose, is that the gentlemen are actually the damn souls of Bob's Beauties from The Price is Right. The way they're always, you know, they're always gesturing towards
the hands. They are, very, very elegantly.
It's the exact same gestures they use in Price is Right.
All they need is a box of Borax to, like, tap with one finger.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah,
or
yeah,
a dinette set. Sure.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's a great episode. I really don't know what to add to what Sarah said. Just a couple stray observations. The red meat poster in the first victim's dorm room was a little on the nose, I thought. He has a poster for a band called Red Meat hanging up. I don't know if anybody else noticed that.
Yep.
The highlight for me was the slideshow with, as you say, hippie Buffy and her. and the other great part was the steak jerky motion scene.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was kind
of the same scene.
Yeah, kind of surprised me that it was in there. I haven't seen this episode in years. I haven't done a Buffy rewatch. And I was like, wow, I kind of am surprised they got away with that. And this is like 18-year-old episode. God, feel old now, 18 years?
Jeez. Yeah, no kidding.
And the other, my last observation is I question the gentleman's choice of putting their attack minions in straitjackets. I'm wondering how all these fights would have gone if the minions could have lashed out with, I don't know, arms when they were fighting. You know, it's a creepy choice for them to run around like, you know, like crazy little dogs or whatever. But when we're talking about fighting power, let's get them out of those jackets and get them up to 100%. great episode. I think Buffy is one of the shows that has a positive batting average when it comes or positive. No, it's not the way it works. Over 500 batting average when it comes to their, you know, gimmicky episodes, this one, the singing one, you know, Buffy is the rare show that sort of does them in service of the characters in the story instead of the other way around, just sticking characters in a wacky situation and kind of seeing what happens, which I think a lot of shows do. Community. And and this is great. I mean, I was going through and I was like, I for some reason had in my head we already did the musical one because it seems like kind of a no-brainer to put in the canon, but this one sort of shares similarities in that one for me in so far that it's like you know, a gimmick episode done right, done smartly, and it moves the story along instead of just being its own thing. Sure.
Yeah, this is obviously one of the all-time classic episodes of Buffy for good reason. Starting right from the beginning, one of the things that Buffy does well that other shows don't do as well is portraying what dreams are actually like. Even though you can tell, you know, that Buffy is asleep and the opening thing with her in class and the prof putting her on the table and having Riley come and kiss her obviously is not what really happened. But the weird things he says that you only understand what they mean later, it's just, it feels very realistically dreamlike.
You know what other show did something similar? And I know nobody liked the episode and it was dumb and it was, but that Good Wife episode from 2 weeks ago with her replaying things over and over again in her head.
Yes.
That was like a really good visual way to do anxiety, I thought. And I thought this one was a good way to do dreams. Like, even though like that Good Wife episode was not
corny.
But I thought the mechanism was good. And I thought the mechanism here was good too.
Yeah. I will say that from having watched Face Off, I could tell which of the gentlemen were main gentlemen and which were like got the second tier makeup that where they didn't have to have their mouths move because they were like sort of in the background and looked really weird. Like they were chewing on, you know, those dog treats that are supposed to make your dog look like he has a mustache or something. And I also love the joke. In addition to the steak moment, the moment where Xander picks up the phone to call Buffy and then Buffy picks up and they both are like, wait a second.
That was good.
What do I do?
That was great. It's obviously, as I said while we were watching it, a moment that wouldn't have existed in the age of texting, because that would obviously be the first thing that you did. But as Stephanie said, that's one of the few things that would have been different if this episode had aired like yesterday instead of 18 years ago.
You just give them like EMP powers too or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. As you said. Yeah. And there were great character moments too, like when Buffy and Willow show up at Giles's and Willow gets like all anxious about getting her board and then she's like wanting to write something down and then when she holds it up it just says, "Hi Giles." She can just wave. It's very cute and very Willow-like. The worst thing about the episode is all of the incredibly ugly, really long skirts. So I can't really hold that against it, but damn.
I believe in my Buffy rewatch that they keep coming up and Willow, I think, that's the one where she's wearing that Pepto bedsheet.
Yes, it looks exactly like you're exactly right. It looks like a bedsheet. It's completely shapeless and weirdly thin. So I don't know what that was
about. Not great.
Oh, the other funny moment I liked was is the elevator scene, the end of it, where they get out of the elevator having almost died because of security countermeasures in the initiative elevator.
Yeah.
And they get out and the boss just points at something. An emergency, please take stairs. That was good. That was a good little point. Yeah. You can really see Joss Whedon's fingerprints all over this, obviously.
Definitely.
He wrote it. He directed it. But absolutely. All right. So ready for a vote?
Yeah.
All right. Sarah?
It's a yes for me.
Antar?
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Absolutely. 3-4-3. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 4, Episode 10, Hush. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
All right, everybody. It's time for a winner and a loser of the week. First, our winner from Sarah.
Fixers. This is a two-part entry. The first part is the Daily Beast had an interview with Michael Kelly, a.k.a. Doug Stamper, this week. And he's like the complete opposite of the character, obviously. And he has some really funny quotes about how like girls on Twitter are like, "I love Stamper." And he's like, "What's wrong with you? You have issues. You're a sicko."
Yeah.
We'll link it in the show notes. It's a really funny interview and really good. But the main winner fixer, of course, one Mike Ehrmantraut on Better Call Saul.
Oh,
Jonathan
my
Banks
God.
Can clear off a spot on his mantle for that Emmy, and if he doesn't get it, I will take to the streets. That episode was amazing. He was so good. I've always loved that character, but oh my God, it was awesome.
It was devastating. Awesome. I've never almost cried at anything from the Breaking Bad universe like that. I was very close. Didn't quite get there, but it was
me too.
What about the time they trashed Aaron Paul's wonderful house in that
party? That was not okay. That was not okay.
Eating old pizza, that almost brought me to tears. Loser of the week.
But I will say, I didn't get to put this in my post about that episode, but like it was all the stuff about his son. I hope we get to see how that plays out in like his perspective on his relationship with Jesse later. that he, you know, the way, now that we know what he went through with his kid, that like the way he treats him and how he tries to like bring him under his wing and like fix him belatedly doesn't really work. But that's one of the things that's another great moment with Mike in Breaking Bad. Loser of the week, women. More so than usual.
God damn it.
I know.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. The Bachelorette is like, obviously is terrible for women and culture and people. But one of the things that it had going for it in terms of like the Bachelor universe was it actually put a woman in charge of like choosing who her swain is going to be. But they announced at the finale of The Bachelor last week that instead of just picking a bachelorette, they got it down to two, one of whom is the monster Brit, who, God, and the other one, I can't even remember her name,
Wait.
Who cares?
Oh, I see.
So what's going to happen?
It's a lady named Brit?
Yes.
It's not a British monster on the TV? Okay.
No. So what's going to happen
or
in
is
this
it?
So what's going to happen in the Bachelorette premiere is that both of these women are going to meet the 25 guys, and then the guys get to pick which one of them at the end of the cocktail party gets to be the Bachelorette, gets in quotation marks, based on their interactions with them. So like basically taking the last shred of agency that belonged to women in this entire godforsaken franchise and putting it back in the hands of the men. Good job. Mike Darnell, obviously there's no way people are not going to watch this, so congratulations, but at the same time, gross.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's terrible icing on the terrible cake.
Yeah, it is.
It's like they taking a dump on somebody in the geek pit.
Do you, right? How do you say that again?
Could they, Sarah? Could they not flip it for next time so that on The Bachelor, the ladies get to pick between two?
Oh, maybe.
Pen dolls?
I mean, I guess after, like, it depends how much of an outcry there is on this, I suppose, but
none.
Yeah.
No, people were mad. People were mad.
Twitter
about this.
Mad, though.
Well, yeah, not mad enough to not watch. That's count. What I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't count. Guys, you know what time it is?
It's game
time. It's all right, everybody. 10th. This is the 10th game time of the season. We are still on the verge of a season championship with valued guests at 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
Tara and Sarah tied right behind with 3 points each.
You could end this whole season, Stephanie. You could do it today.
Yep. The season ends when somebody reaches 5 points. No pressure, Stephanie, but you know.
But pressure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of pressure.
Tons of pressure.
Today we are playing Women and Children First by Ken B, who earns himself an extra credit, redeemable for an extra hot, great topic, excuse me, of his choosing. Then the good folks who follow EHG Assist on Twitter help me supersize this very important, decisive game.
Ooh. Oh, dear God.
You will get, brace yourself, 99 questions.
What?
and a bitch is one.
Okay.
And that will test your knowledge of TV family members.
Okay. Oh,
I will read you all or some of the women and children in a family, and you tell me the name of the father, or in some cases, the man of the family for 1 point and the show for another. No hints. So
it's a
you'll get
heteronormative challenge.
You'll get the, well, as I heard, you know, women don't really, you know, they don't really
That's
count.
That's
true.
These Mike
days.
Darnell taught us that.
Yeah. This is from Mike Darnell. AKA can be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to read you the women and children of the family. You got to name the father and the show. Both are worth 1 point. You can answer one or the other or both. And there's no hints.
Oh, okay. So you can say the man or the show.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I'll probably, for most cases, accept the guy's first name. And you don't have to tell me the last name.
Okay.
Grade on the curve on that one.
Okay.
All right. Let's throw it to Picky, who's going to tell us who's first.
We will start with Tara.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Tara, and then we're going to go to our guests, and then to Sarah. Are we ready to play Women and Children First?
Yes.
Sort All right.
of. I'm going to start you all off with a couple easy ones to get you in the rhythm, and then we're going to go into the rest, which have been randomized.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Betty, Sally, Bobby, and Eugene, the father in the show, Tara.
Don Draper, Mad Men.
That's good for 2 points.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Got it?
Yep.
Claire, Sandra, Denise, Theo, Vanessa, and Rudy for Stephanie.
Bill Cosby, The Cosby Show.
Yes, Mr. Huxtable.
Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show.
Dr. Huxtable.
Oh, yes. We want the character name, not the actor. So that's good for 1 point.
Got it. I also Brendan, thought that was his name.
Brenda and Cindy for Sarah.
Can you read that again? Just kidding. Jim Walsh, Beverly Hills 90210.
That's good for 2 points. All right, back to Tara. Yep. Here's your second gimme.
Okay.
Emily, Lorelai, and Rory.
Oh.
Well, at least the show's a gimme.
Emily, Lorelai, and Rory. Oh, Richard Gilmore of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, and I want to say that none of the children or women's names will appear in the title of the show. I excised all those out.
Oh, okay.
So Everybody Hates Chris, for example, okay, will not got be it. On yeah, yeah, yeah. the program. All right, back to Stephanie, Arnold, Willis, and Kimberly. Arnold, Willis,
Wonder Years?
He's so young.
Nope. And,
would you like me to answer this for you, Dave?
Sure. You go ahead.
Different Strokes.
Thank you. Philip Drummond, Different Strokes. All right. To Sarah.
Yep.
Carmella, AJ, and Meadow.
Tony Soprano on The Sopranos.
That's good for 2 points. All right, now we're going to go into all the ones that are all mixed up. These are totally random. Some are easy, some are hard.
Okay.
Mags, Doyle, Dickie, and Coover.
The Bennetts of Justified.
That's a really tough one because he's not in the show, so I'm going to give you 2 points for that one. Yes. Purvis Bennett.
Oh, right. Okay. But, no, that's okay. I forgot I was supposed to say the dad, so that's fine. It's 1 point. For right. Justified.
I thought you were saying that because the guy never really...
No, he's not. He's dead by the time, but I never would have got it anyway, so that's
all
fine.
Right.
1
Fair
point
enough.
For Justified.
Okay. Sheila, Kyle, and Ike for Stephanie. Sheila, Kyle, and Ike.
Sheila, Kyle, and Ike.
Yeah.
The Wonder Years again.
At South Park. And
really?
That's Gerald from Brulofsky. Yes.
South yeah, Park. Ike is the kid, the Canadian adopted baby with the flappy head.
Yep. Sarah.
Yes.
Shelley, Allie, Sarah, and Josh.
Shelley, Allie, Sarah, and Josh. I don't know. It's not Benson. Maybe it's that other one with Kirk Cameron. I can't remember either.
Do you know, Tara? You
no,
watched it. Watch
no,
this.
I don't.
It's Transparent.
Oh, okay.
And the father is Mara.
Right.
Mora.
Yep.
Okay, so this is for Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Jane, I'm going to say Zoe, XO, and Elba.
Oh, the father is my beloved Rogelio, and it's Jane the Virgin.
That's good for 2 points. Did I say that right? Is it Zoe?
Yes, Xiomara is her full name.
Okay. And, yeah. Listen to Tara as I read these names. Rose, Diane, Marva, Patty, Mickey, and Nina.
What? Rose, Diane, Patty, Marva?
Yeah, Marva.
Marva.
And by the way, this game is my nightmare. It's all names. It's all names. All right,
I don't
call
know.
That one. Yeah, you're never going to get it.
I don't remember the so-called dad's name, but I think that's Rags to Bitches.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. All right.
No, Marva.
Nick, assholes.
Nick
that's
Foley.
A current name?
What, Marva? No, it's the show set in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Greta and Molly. For Sarah, right? Yes. Greta and Molly.
Greta and Molly. I don't know.
That's the father, Gus, the show Fargo.
Oh, right.
Fargo. All right. Back to Tara. Mm-hmm. Sally, Harry, and Tommy. Sally, Harry, Tommy.
Don't know.
Dick Solomon from Third Rock from the Sun. All right.
TV loves it, a kid named Tommy. I don't know.
I
what
was
going to
say
that.
One of TV's many Tommies.
All right, Stephanie.
Okay.
Pam, Cecilia, Philip. Pam, Cecilia, and Philip. The father in the show. Pam, Cecilia, and Philip. I will say that...
One of TV's relatively few Pams.
Yeah.
Only Pam I have is The Office, which I'm going to go with, but I think it's also wrong. Really?
Okay, that's 1 point for The Office. Who's the father?
Jim Halpert.
That's good for 2 points. Yep. not really seen on screen that much or talked about, but those were their names.
I think I missed the child, the young child, but I'll take it.
All right. Whose turn?
Mine.
Sarah. Your other wife.
Yep. All right. You're women and children. Elizabeth, Paige, and Henry.
Elizabeth, Paige, and Henry. Oh, Paige and Henry. Fuck. The Americans?
Yeah!
Father?
God. Clark?
Oh, right guy. Wrong family.
His main alter ego.
Yeah, Kevin. It's Philip. Philip.
Philip.
Fuck.
Yeah. That was good, though.
That was good.
Whatever, I will take that point.
Yeah.
Camille, Adam, Sarah, Julia, and Crosby.
Parented Zeke.
That's good for 2 points. Number Zeke. 17.
Spread Eagle.
All right, get ready for this one, Stephanie. Monica, Fiona, Lip, Ian, mm-hmm. Debbie, Carl, Liam.
Yep.
Shameless.
Yep.
Father? First name's fine. Pardon me?
Walter, maybe?
It's Frank, but you got 1 point for Shameless.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Sarah?
Yep.
Gene, Lindsay, and Sam.
Freaks and Geeks.
1 point. Father?
What was his name?
Don.
Good guess. Harold. Harold.
Oh, no, sure. Same family.
Yep.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce it, so I'll say both.
Oh, great.
It's either Florida or Florida.
Uh-huh.
JJ, Thelma, and Michael.
I definitely don't know the dad's name. I'm going to say Good Times.
1 point for Good Times. Kim knew it was James was the father.
Sorry, Kim.
All right, number 20 for Stephanie, Peggy, Kelly, and Bud. Peggy, Kelly, Bud.
Married with Children,
yes.
Al Bundy.
Nice.
2 points. All right. To Sarah. Mary, Susan, Joni, Elizabeth, Nicholas, David, Nancy, Tommy, and Sandra.
Oh, God. 8 was exactly enough. And their dad's name was... Oh, shit. Don.
Ooh. Tom.
Tom.
Laureen and Hannah.
I think his name is Tad on Girls.
2 points.
Thanks, wow, Jeff Alexander's nice. Posts.
All right, Stephanie. Lori, Tommy, and Jill.
Tommy again.
The Rugrats?
Close. Very similar show, The Leftovers. Father was Kevin.
Kevin.
All right. Number 24, bringing us into our first score break. For Sarah.
Sarah.
Sean and Madeline.
I don't know the answer to this. V.
Psych. The father was Henry.
All right.
Yeah.
Never would have gotten that.
No. That was a tough one.
No.
All right, score break.
Very close game. Stephanie has 6, Sarah has 7, I have 12.
All right.
Still a million questions to go.
Still a million questions to go. Obviously, anybody's game. Back to Tara.
Yep.
Caroline, Mary, Laura, Carrie, Charles, Grace, Albert, James, Cassandra.
Cassandra.
Charles of Little House on the Prairie.
That is good for 2 points. All right, Stephanie. Jane, Judy, and Elroy.
The Jetsons. George Jetson.
Yep, nice. 2 points. All right, Sarah, Jamie, and Mabel. Jamie is J-A-M-I-E.
Yep.
And
Mabel. Yes, as opposed to Jaime. That's Mad About You. What was Paul Reiser's damn name on that show? Jamie and Paul?
Yeah!
I was wondering how that was going to play out.
I was psychically sending it to you.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Alicia,
yep.
Zach, and Grace.
Peter, the good wife.
That is correct. All right. Stephanie, Tammy, Julie, Gracie. Tammy with one M and an I. Julie and Gracie.
And some aviators.
Teen Mom?
Those names are so much cooler than Teen Mom.
That was Friday Night Lights. That was Friday Night Lights. And the father was Eric Taylor. And yeah. I should say, I believe I excised all the only scripted shows in this.
Oh, okay.
There's no reality shows in this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Okay, so we're back to Sarah. Barb, Nikki, Margie, Sarah, Ben, Wayne, Raymond, Neil, and Tansy? Tansy? Is that right?
Could be.
Oh my God. Tancy. I don't know if that's a typo or that's it.
The only ones you really need are Barb, Jean, and Nikki.
Yeah. So Jean, Sarah, got to guess there.
And Barb.
Tansy. Family?
That's Big Love.
Oh, Bill. Right, of course.
Yeah. All right, Tara.
Yeah.
Abby, Zoe, Ellie, Elizabeth. Abby, Zoe, Ellie, Elizabeth.
Zoe, Ellie. Jed Bartlett on the West Wing.
That's good for 2 points.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie, Leslie, Wesley, Sonia, and Steven. This is a tricky one. This is a tricky one in that you could overthink it. Leslie, Wesley, Sonia, Steven.
I don't have any thinking going on.
If it's what I'm thinking of, she's way too young.
It's not.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Ignore what I just said.
All right, one more time. Leslie, Wesley, Sonia, and Steven. Got a guess?
Nope.
That's Parks and Recreation. Ben Wyatt.
I totally would have guessed Mr. Belvedere. Is that what you're
thinking?
That's
what I was thinking too. Like, what the hell other Wesley are they?
Wesley. All right, Sarah. Libby, yep. Paige. Another Paige. Becca, Corky.
Life goes on. And I have no idea what the dad's name was, so let's go with Don again.
Don, incorrect, although it is Drew Thatcher, okay. The father.
The oldest Drew in history.
Yeah, really.
Tara.
Yeah.
Lynette, Porter, Preston, Parker, Penny, and Paige. Man, a lot of pages.
I forget what his garbage name was, but it's... Oh, wait! It was Desperate Housewives. Was his name Tom?
2 points.
Fuck.
Nice.
Scavo.
Scavo. Right.
Maggie, this is for Stephanie. Maggie, Mike, Ben, Carol, and Chrissy. Maggie, Mike, Ben, Carol, and Chrissy.
Growing Pains?
Yeah!
And the dad's name was Mr. Seaver?
That was good
well,
enough.
It was Dr. Seaver, first
Dr.
of all.
Dr. Seaver, that's
Jason.
Right.
Is it Mike? Jason Seaver.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Jason. Mike was the son. Mike was Kirk
that's
Cameron.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Sarah. Yep. Lois, Meg, Chris, and Stewie.
Family Guy?
Nice.
And the dad's name is Dad?
Ooh, close. Peter Griffin is the
father. Okay.
Okay, Tara.
Yep.
Eric, Lori, and Kitty.
That 70s show, Red?
2 points. Thank you. Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Dennis. Dee, Barbara, and Charlie. Dennis, Dee, Barbara, and Charlie. Got a guess? Oh, did we lose him? Oh, they're there.
Who's the boss?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Frank Reynolds, Danny DeVito's character. Sarah.
Yeah.
Patty, Angela, and Danielle.
Graham Chase of My So-Called Life.
Just went ahead and marked both of those before you said anything.
2 points. All right, Tara.
Yep.
Brandine, Tiffany, Heather, Cody, Dylan, Dermot, Jacob, Jordan, Taylor, Brittany, Wesley.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Rumor, Scout, Cassidy, Zoe, Matt,
Violet
Hunter,
Inspector.
Kendall, Caitlin, Noah, Sasha, Morgan, Kira, Ian, Lauren, Cubert, and Phil.
Cletus on The Simpsons.
That's good for 2 points. All right. Abigine, Lana, and Seamus are yours, Stephanie. Abigine, Lana, Seamus.
Often better known as the wee Seamus.
The wee Seamus. The wee baby Seamus.
Is it the Donnellys? No, that was canceled.
No, that's Archer from Archer. Archer from Archer. Sarah,
yo.
Amy, Eric, Corey, and Morgan.
Amy, Eric, Corey, and Morgan. Benson.
Oh, I thought you had it when you... Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah, no.
Alan Matthews, Boy Meets World. Tara.
Yeah.
Jessica, Dana, Chris.
Ugh.
Oh, Homeland. Damn Nicholas it. Brody.
2 points.
Hey, Stephanie. That's a Huevos Rancheros.
John, you're welcome.
Jordan and Rebecca. For Stephanie. Jordan and Rebecca.
Pass. I have no idea.
Is it Studio 60 on the bullshit strip?
Yep. Danny Trip.
Oh, was? Really?
Yeah. All right. Sarah, Maggie, Audrey, Macy. Maisie. Maisie. M-A-I-S-I-E. Maisie.
Easy.
What was the first name?
Maggie. Audrey. Maisie.
Maisie. Little Shop of Horrors.
True Detective, Marty Hart.
No!
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Peggy, Bobby, Luann.
Hank Hill.
Hank Hill from King of Hill is correct. Marion, Chuck, Richie, and Joni. Marion, Chuck, Richie, Joni.
One of TV's few Richies.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's not Joni Loves Chachi, is it? Or you want the...
You okay Happy there, Ty?
Yeah.
Happy Days is correct. Who's the father?
Mr. Joni, I have no idea.
Howard Cunningham. All right. Bring us into our second score break, Tara.
Yeah, no, Sarah.
Sorry. Ruth, Nate, David, and Claire.
Oh, Nate Fisher Sr. on 6 Feet Under.
Nice.
Correct. All right, everybody. Here's our second score break. Let's hear them score start.
Still so close. No.
Wrong button.
Not 19. Stephanie has 11. Sarah has 15. I have 28.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Still lots of game to play.
Still lots of game to play. Here we go. For
me.
Tara.
Yep.
Corrine, Cassidy, Matthew, and Megan.
It's probably Corrine. Say the next names after
Corrine,
that.
Yeah. Cassidy, Matthew, Megan.
Oh, I don't know.
Vic Mackey from The Shield.
Okay.
All right. All right, Stephanie. Kate, Diane, Jackie, Hillary, Warren, and Bert.
Aw.
Oh.
It's a recent show.
Kate, Diane, Jackie, Hillary, and Bert?
And Warren is one.
Oh, and Warren.
One of TV's few birds.
I can think of a Bert, but it's not that Bert. So Bert Chance from Raising Hope.
That's Trophy Wife. Father's Pete. Sarah.
Yes.
Fran, Robbie, Charlene, Baby.
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 Okay.
What was the first one?
Baby. Fran, Robbie, Charlene, and Baby.
Dallas, Bobby Ewing.
Dinosaurs. Earl Sinclair. Okay, Tara.
Yeah.
Louise and Lionel.
The only Lionel I know would be the dad, so I don't know.
The Jeffersons, George Jefferson.
Oh, duh.
Okay, Stephanie, I think you're going to get this one.
Okay.
Norma, Karen, Wayne, and Kevin.
You have grossly overestimated me.
Think about it.
Say them again, Dave.
Norma, Karen, Wayne, and Kevin.
Kevin.
And the Wonder Years. Finally.
Father, any idea?
Do not know.
Whoops. Jack Arnold. That's good for 1 point. All right, Sarah. Ellie, Tommy, and Fred.
Ellie, Tommy. Jesus. And Fred.
So many Tommies.
The Munsters.
Broadchurch. Father Joe.
Damn it.
Kind of close, actually.
Sandra, Claire, and Lyle.
Lyle.
Yep. Sandra, Claire, and Lyle.
Claire. I don't know.
Don't know?
No.
What if I added Mr. Muggles?
Nope.
No, that's Heroes.
Oh,
with right. Noah, horn rimmed yep. glasses yep. guy. Mm-hmm. All right, Neil, Katie, Julia, Sam, and Joey are your women and children. Stephanie, and I'm going to give you a 2% chance to get this one. 2%.
Awesome. say them again. Neil, Katie,
Julie, Sam, and Joey.
Julie, Sam, and Joey. Dynasty.
No, give me a break.
Never heard of it.
Father was Carl. Maya and Olivia.
Maya and Olivia.
Correct. Maya,
this
Olivia.
For you.
Tara?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Scandal.
I know this one.
Oh, Maya, duh. I do know.
Yeah, Father
Scandal.
Eli or Rowan.
Shit. Yep,
exactly. All right. I've lost track. Whose turn is it?
Now it's my turn.
Okay. Aster, Cody, Harrison, Rita.
What was the first name?
Astor.
Astor?
Astor.
A-S-T-O-R?
O-R.
Oh, I know this one too.
Harrison? Is it popular?
What is it, Stephanie?
Dexter.
It is Dexter.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. So for Stephanie.
Finally.
Jill, Kimberly, Matthew, and Zach.
Kimberly, Matthew, and Zach.
Tough one. This is a tough one. From the 90s.
Oh.
I think. Maybe early aughts.
Exactly. That's the correct response to anything from the 90s.
Matthew and Zach? Yeah, that's right.
Picket Fences.
Oh.
Father was Jimmy. Yeah.
Sure.
I would have gone with Home Improvement, but...
Sarah.
Yep.
Walt Jr., Holly, and Skyler.
Walter White Sr. from Breaking Bad.
That is good for 2 points. All right. Tara.
Yes, sir.
Cora, Mary, Edith, and Sybil.
Robert Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that's also good for 2 points. June, Wally, and Theodore.
One of TV's few Wallys.
Yeah.
And June's, for that matter.
June, Wally, and Theodore. It's a classic.
That does not help.
No.
It's not good, but it's a classic.
It's not good.
Oh.
It was in black and white.
Yeah. Oh, with the dog, right? No.
No.
You're looking at me?
It was with the beaver. It was like a small dog. It was Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, that's what I was
Ward.
Thinking of.
Yeah. All right, who's next, dear?
Sarah.
Sarah. Tracy, Penny, and Luke. Tracy, Penny, and Luke.
Modern Family?
How I Met Your Mother, Ted Mosby, the father.
Oh, yeah, fuck him.
Sean, Michael, and Elena. Elena.
You spelled the last one?
Yeah, E-L-E-N-A.
Elena. What were the first two?
Sean and Michael.
Sean and Michael. No, I still don't know.
The Wire, Jimmy McNulty.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Stephanie, Michael, sorry, Michelle, Frank, and Sophie.
Michelle, Frank, and Sophie.
Not a lot of Sophies.
No.
Wouldn't help me, just saying.
Michelle, Frank, and Sophie. Togetherness. Father is Brett. Brett. All right. To Sarah, Sydney, Isabel, and Jack. Sydney. Isabel, Jack.
Isabel and Jack.
Yep.
Melrose.
Ooh.
No.
Alias.
Oh.
Michael Vaughn.
Damn it.
Yeah. All right. Tara.
Yep.
Shirley, Keith, Lori, Danny, Chris, and Tracy.
I have no fucking idea what their dead dad's name was, but it's the Partridge Family.
Yeah, fill us in there, Sarah.
Don?
No, it's not Don. It's Reuben. Reuben Kincaid.
They're calling him the dad? He's not the dad?
Well, I said man.
Oh,
the man.
Oh, well, I would have known that. Oh, well. That's fine.
Oh, well.
My bad.
When in doubt.
Indeed.
Deborah, Allie, Jeffrey, and Michael. Deborah, Allie, Jeffrey, Michael.
Deborah!
Deborah.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
And the father's name?
Raymond.
Hey, 2 points. All right, Sarah.
Hit it.
Judy, Ross, and Monica.
That's Friends. And the dad's name is...
It's not Don.
Sarah no. Michelle.
That's Jack. Jack Geller.
Style points for that answer, shit. Though.
All right, Tara. Yeah. Lori, Carl, and Judith.
Carl.
Yeah.
Carl.
It's, yes, I know. It's Rick from The Walking Dead.
It's good for 2 points. All right, Stephanie. Lucille, George, Byron, Michael, Lindsay.
Arrested Development.
Nice.
George or...
Yeah.
Yep.
Good enough. J-O-B George Senior. Bluth Sr.
Nicely done.
All right, Sarah.
Yep.
Bringing us into our score break, our penultimate score break. Jared, Ted, Tawny, Janet, Amantha. Amantha?
Yes.
That's the way it's written.
Yes, okay. That's her name.
Dan Daniel.
Oh, it's Rectify.
What the fuck is the dad's name? Does he have a name?
Yes,
I believe apparently. It's Ted Senior.
Nice, of course it is.
2 points.
Jesus.
Okay.
All right, that was 72 out of 99,
Jesus
guys.
Christ, you guys. Okay, Stephanie has 16 points. Sarah has 20 points. I have 33.
That's a count. All right.
Yeah, not.
So we're back to Tara.
Yep.
Sorry. Marsha, Kevin, Heather, and Wesley.
Is this Mr. Belvedere? And the dad's Wesley. Name was Bob Uecker? I don't know what the dad's name was.
George Owens.
Oh, George.
But that is a good guess that it would just be Bob.
Uh-huh.
All right, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Catherine, Toby, Daphne, and Bay.
Bay?
Yeah. Yep. That's what I... Bay?
Catherine, Toby.
Maybe TV's only Bay. B-A-Y, not B-A-Y. B-A-Y.
Is it Degrassi? I want it to be
like that
good
guess.
Yeah. Tara, I think I knows this one.
It is Switched at Birth.
Switched at Birth. Father's name is John Kenish. Kenish?
Yep.
All right. DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle for Sarah.
Oh, that is Full House. And their dad's name is...
Would you accept any of the dads on the show? You did say just man.
Yeah, I guess.
Uncle Jesse?
I mean, does that count? I
don't yeah.
know. Okay. Danny Tanner was the name on the, whatever. On the answer sheet. Yeah.
But they had three dads. Come on.
All right.
If Reuben Kincaid counts, any of those men count, as far as I'm concerned.
Tara.
Yeah.
Samantha, Tabitha, Adam.
It's Bewitched. And the father's name.
Famous. There's two of them.
Oh, Darren.
That is good for 2 points. All right, Stephanie. Bo. But it's spelled B-O-W.
Oh.
Zoe, Andre Jr., Jack, Diane. Bo, Zoe, Bo. Andre Jr.
So there's Jack one gimme Diane. Already. If there's so, Andre
so
Jr.
Dad is Andre, I'm guessing.
That's good for one. What's the show? It's on right now.
Oh.
I mean, it's on currently.
Everybody loves Andre.
Yeah. The mom's full name is Rainbow, no. if that helps.
Yeah. Sorry, what'd you say, Ty?
Yes. Full name is Rainbow on Bo.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Oh.
Yes. All right. So Rainbow, Zoe, Andre Jr., Jack, and Diane.
That did not help. But okay. I'm going Andre Sr. and Empire.
Oh. Good guess.
Blackish.
Oh.
Blackish.
What the hell is going on?
Jack licked the leftover pizza.
Granny, Jethro, Ellie Mae.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
If you don't know it, just go with the most hillbilly name you could think of.
Billy Ray.
Ooh. Jed.
Oh, Clampett. Right, of course. Mr. Clampett.
All right. So where are we? We're back Tara. To Tara.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Raina and Maddie.
Well, she has another kid, but.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, if it's this dad, then I guess it's Deacon Nashville.
That's good for 2 points. All right, Stephanie, Colleen, Avery, and Liddy.
Ian, Avery, and Liddy?
Yes.
Women
and children.
No idea. Guess.
Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. All right, Sarah.
Little Liddy.
Yep.
Linda, Tina, Jean, and Louise.
That's Bob's Burgers. And I'm guessing his name's Bob.
2 points. Tara.
Masterfully done. Yes.
Terry and Kim.
Oh, 24, Jack Bauer.
2 points. Back to Stephanie.
Cougar
Frankie?
Doesn't get a... Nothing?
What's that?
Nothing. I was making a cougar joke.
Oh. No, the cougar's not part of the family. It's just... It gets invited to parties, but not family functions.
Just clarifying that.
Frankie, Axel, Sue, and Brick. Or Stephanie.
Frankie, Axel, Sue, and Brick?
Yeah.
Yep.
That 80s show?
Good guess.
The Middle. The father is Mike Heck. Mike Heck.
Watched by no one but me.
All right, Sarah. Tough one. Morticia, Pugsley, and Wednesday.
The Addams Family.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the casting.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not going to accept Mr. Addams for this one because it's a pretty well-known.
Well, fair enough. Give me a second. I always get this and the Munsters confused. And actually, I don't remember Mr. Munster's name. What the hell is his name? I'm trying to imagine her saying his name to Raul Julia in the movie.
Oh, Don.
It's not Don. It's not Sarah Michelle. I'm just guessing. God damn it. I don't know.
Anybody?
Gomez.
All right, Stephanie. Will, Carlton,
no,
Hillary.
No, it's me.
No, no.
Will, okay, sorry. Will, Carlton, Hillary, Vivian, Ashley.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and his name was Philip?
Philip Banks.
Nice.
Correct. 2 points. All right, sorry, Stephanie. Here's yours. Joanna, Jamie, Cersei, Tyrion?
Tyrion?
Tyrion, yes, Tyrion.
Tyrion.
Game of Thrones, and just repeat them one more time so I know which dad to say.
Yeah, Joanna, Jamie, Cersei, and
Tyrion.
So Tywin is the dad.
Nice.
2 points.
Dave's fave.
May you rest in peace. Martha and William. Tough one. Not a lot of names there.
Not a lot of names.
Martha and William.
William. Oh. Martha. Cheers.
The man is Seth Bullock from Deadwood.
Oh, sure.
He inherits his brother's family.
He does that.
All right. Sam and Elliot for Tara.
Is it JD from Scrubs?
That is correct for 2 points. All right, Stephanie. Shirley, Elijah, Jordan, and Ben.
Shirley, Elijah, John and Ben?
Jordan.
Jordan and Ben. And Ben. Shirley, Eliza, Jordan.
Eliza or Elijah?
Elijah.
With
Elijah.
A J.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ben.
If I may, the key one here is Shirley. Anybody?
No.
Community.
Oh,
and Andre,
wow.
Played by Malcolm
Jamal Warner.
Yep. Okay, so we're two, Sarah.
Yep.
Carol Ann, Zach, and Lee. And if I may give you one hint, Lee is the important one.
So I shouldn't guess Poltergeist, the new class?
Can you spell Lee?
Yeah, L-E-E.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure. It could have been L-E-I-G-H.
Not L-I either.
Okay.
L-E-E.
Yeah.
The $6 million man?
I like that
Better
guess.
Known as Apollo from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that.
Sorry.
All right. Laura and Richie. Laura, Richie.
Rob Petrie from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Good for 2 points. All right, Stephanie. Rose and Stacy. Good show, but tough one.
Stacy?
If Dave says it's a good show, you know it's not Olympus.
Yeah. Rose and Stacy. From this decade.
Yeah.
Tough one. Ted Crisp from Better Off Ted.
Oh, God.
Short-lived, but much
that
loved.
That was really hard.
Yeah. All right. To Sarah. Elsie, Alex, Mallory, Jennifer, Andrew.
Elise.
Family Ties, Stephen Keaton.
That's good for 2 points.
Nice.
Edith and Gloria.
Archie from All in the Family.
Good for 2 points. Cookie, Andre, Jamal, and Hakeem.
The key here is Cookie.
Oh, Cookie. It is Lucius Lyon from Empire.
Good for 2 points. Sarah.
Yep.
Olivia and Etta.
Aw.
It's Peter Bishop from Fringe.
2 points.
Nice.
Tara.
Yep.
Jane, Lily, and Janet.
Can you spell Lily?
Two L's.
Okay. I don't know. I know I should.
Louis C.K. from Louis.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Here's your last question, Stephanie.
Okay.
Selena and Catherine. It's a good show. It's not Olympus.
Selena and Catherine from...
It's on right now. We're coming up soon, anyways.
No.
I just got it.
What is it, Tara?
It's Veep.
It is Veep.
But I don't know what the dad's name is.
Andrew. Yeah. Our last question, number 99 for Sarah.
Oh, man. Guys, we should just all be proud we got through this.
I know. Claire, Haley, Alex, and Luke. Alex, Luke.
Is this one Modern Family?
Nice.
Yep.
What's
father?
The goddamn dad's name. It's not Luke Sr. It's not Don. It's not Sarah Michelle. And it's not Olympus. His name is Phil.
Yeah!
It is so great. That was pretty good. All right. Let's hear the final scores.
I have 32.
Yep. Stephanie has 5, 10, 15, 20, 21.
Yep.
Sarah has 32, as she said, and I have 48.
Many more. Yay!
All right, congratulations, Tara. Let's do the shits and giggles. It's worth 7 Dave points.
Whoa.
I'll start reading off the women and children.
Okay.
First person to shout out the answer wins.
Okay.
If you shout out one answer, you don't get a second shout. Everybody else has had their turn.
Got it.
Carol.
Brady Bunch.
Boom!
Nice!
I knew you were going to get that one.
We will start with Carol.
Congratulations. Oh, this is going to be a tight season, guys. It's going to be a tight season.
God, I'm dehydrated. Whew.
That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We sang the praises of The Voice and American Idol before going around the dial with stops at The Last Man on Earth, The Royals, The Jinx, and Olympus. Liv filled us in on Face Off's Miss Intergalactic episode and her newfound love of the universe. And Stephanie successfully pitched us Buffy's Hush for the Extra Hot Great Canon. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was a winner of this week's Game Time. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano,
busy, busy, busy,
and Sarah D. Bunting,
killed them all, of course,
and Stephanie Cangro.
I don't know what Tara just did.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
Mom, come look at the cool new planets I clicked on to.